Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our first scripture reading today is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Our second reading today is our first creation narrative in the Bible. And I say first, and we'll be getting into that a little bit, because there's a few, which is interesting that we have more than one in the Bible. But our first one is the creation narrative. So here we go. This is Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, chapter 2, verse 4a. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called it the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, yielding plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. On the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heaven and the These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I referenced right before we got started, this is one of a few narratives of creation that we get in our biblical text. It's the first one, although if I'm remembering correctly, we think it might have come after the second one. Bible can be weird like that sometimes, but we have this first narrative, we have this second narrative that we all know about, we have fragments of narratives that show up in Job and Isaiah, and then we even have kind of another creation narrative at the beginning of John, which we read earlier today. One of the important things to look at when we have all of these different creation narratives are the things that kind of make them different or similar, and trying to see what sticks out. It might give us a little bit more insight into the purpose of the writers. One of the things that sticks out to me about these narratives is the fact that in a world where oftentimes there would have been gods of different things, the God of the people of Israel that is here creating the entire world creates every single thing. And this makes sense. This is a point from a sermon one of my friends gave when I was younger, but it makes sense that their God would need to be this powerful. They lived in a land where war was thought of as fighting between the God of one nation versus the God of another. And what makes your God more powerful than being the one that made everything? Another thing that I would love to get sidetracked by is the idea of, if you believe that creation happened from some sort of starting material or ex nihilo. This story references some sort of starting material, which is really interesting, but a lot of people do love ex nihilo. But unfortunately, I don't have the time to talk about that today. What's actually really important for me to talk about today are the big differences between this narrative and the other complete narrative that we have in Genesis 2. The first big difference is this ordered set of creation that we have. That is the fact that creation happens in an order. God creates light, seas and sky, land, and then fills each of those different realms. This kind of gives us the idea that this is a God that likes order. This is a God that creates rules that things tend to follow. It's kind of why science manages to work, is because our world was created in such a way that things work together. It means that when we're doing science, we aren't trying to untangle some great mystery we weren't supposed to understand, but rather learning the rules that God meticulously created so that we could have a world that continues to work. Another difference between this one and the next one is the fact that God has rest. The Sabbath day is set aside and made holy because that's the day that God rested. And for us as human beings, that means that we have to remember to take Sabbath days too. Yes, it's important to worship God. It's also very important for you to get rest. If even God has to take a break from one of the most important creative acts ever to have been done, creating the entire world and all of existence, then even we should be able to take a break from time to time and give ourselves time to reset. It's important. It's important enough that it gets contained in a creation narrative of the world. And then we come to the difference that sticks out to me every time I have read this more recently. And that is how humans are created in this narrative versus the next one. In the next narrative, man comes first, and then from him, woman is created. Now, there are differences in how you could translate rib. It could actually be side, so you could actually be seeing like a whole person split into two to become man and woman. We could get into that when we have chapter 2 as our scripture for the day, but here we have God making male and female all at once. Now, I do want to take a step back from just the scripture to say that this has been used to try and say this is the establishment of two genders for everything, da 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 da. I don't think that's the goal here. I think the goal here is to try and capture that everyone is made in the image of God. There's no dominion over one or the other in this text. Both are made at the same time. Both are given the full image of God. If we go forward to the book of John, we can add in another cool step to that. Both are made in the image of God, and both are made through the power of Jesus in some way. All people are contained. The language that I see here is a language that is trying to make it abundantly clear that all people, everyone, regardless of their differences, regardless of their gender identity, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of their race, regardless of what languages they speak, regardless of where they originally come from, regardless of who they vote for, every single person has been made in the image of God and has been touched by Jesus. And yet, we often create divisions based on all of these things. Some of those divisions are because that's kind of what society tends to do to have things work, but other divisions have been done that have done damage, and even those societal divisions that feel necessary have often done harm to people. And I think that when I read this text, I think that's about how often we have made those divisions ourselves. When we get past the Gospels and into the epistles, Paul tells us that there is neither slave nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female, or man nor woman, that all people are in the kingdom of God and all people will be somehow the same yet still distinct. I think the image of God gives us our little unique quirks. But as we go look around society, it tells us constantly, no, you should be divided. You vote this way, you vote this way. You express yourself with this identity, you express yourself with that identity, or you don't agree with those other identities. You are this religion, you are that religion. You speak this language, this person speaks another language, which maybe back in the day would have been a really easy way to divide us because we couldn't understand each other, but now we all carry pocket translators everywhere we go. With varying degrees of success, but they do somewhat work. And even more than that, we have created boundaries on Earth's creation. God didn't draw boundary lines when God made creation. God didn't say, well, this is going to be the United States of America, this is going to be Canada, and that place over there, that'll be China and Hawaii, or Japan. God created all of creation, and then humans set about our ways, and one of the ways we expressed our dominion over creation, unfortunately, was to create lines and say, well, if you're there, then you can't come here, and if you're here, you can't go there, and if you're that person, you probably shouldn't be talking to that person. This is a creation narrative that gives the image of God to all people. All people have the image of God. And I've done this before in a sermon. I have talked about how we can only get a better image of God when we gather more and more and more of the different people together. The image of God shows us bits of God through each person we meet, and each person has a different bit to show us. Everyone is valuable, and everyone is important. Looking to our future, towards that future that Paul talks about when he removes all the distinctions, I think about the future of this place as well, specifically this place, First Presbyterian Church, Champaign. We are 1 week away from the start of a month-long celebration of the work that has been done here for 175 years. That is a milestone that not many churches hit. And I wonder about how maybe you have gotten this far. And I think part of that is that you have managed to open your doors wider and wider over the years. There are probably times the doors were more restrictive, and there probably have been times when they were more open, but I think that in general, they have gotten more open as the years have gone on, and you have gathered more and more different people, allowing for those differences to exist side by side. I think the future of this congregation is just like that, opening our doors wide open, welcoming in all the people that we like and the people that we don't like, the people we agree with and the people we don't agree with, the people that look and act like us and the people that don't look and act like us. That difference and that variety allow us to engage with our community in a new and beautiful way, but also to engage with God in new and beautiful ways. I talked to our kids earlier about VeggieTales, and I think VeggieTales captures the essence of this text incredibly well. When at the end of every episode, Bob the Tomato looks at the camera, looking at you. I remember watching it on VHS tape, which I should have asked them if they knew about that stuff. Either way. But God looks directly at you and says that God made you special. And God loves you very much. Slightly paraphrased. And when I think of that, I also remember that as we hopefully learn to love ourselves based on that fact, that God made us special and God loves us. If you can't love yourself, remember that God loves you, and hopefully you can reach into that and find the love for yourself. And then Jesus twists it on us a little bit. When Jesus gives us the two commandments that really do capture the entire law, that you are to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. So if we manage to pull off loving ourselves, understanding that we are made special by God and that God loves us very much, then we have to remember that our neighbors too are made very special and are very much loved by God. And if we want to follow in God and Christ's pattern, we too must love all of the people very much. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.